Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, is in that other box over there. He's Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I feel annoyed today.
Annoyed, okay.
I saw something that really got to me. Like, okay. I don't like to call people out in public, but sure. I was just about to lose my shit.
Okay.
I saw a dog.
A dog.
From a distance, and I was like, is that dog wearing pink, hot pink leggings in the sweltering heat?
Okay.
But as I approached it, not leggings. It was dyed. Pink dye.
Oh, my God.
Legs down.
That's stupid.
And I was like, what were they thinking? Oh, my God. This dog looks so bad.
Wait.
I'm thinking, is it like, did they just realize, shit, it looks terrible. I should stop right now. Or it's like, all right, halfway there before the full dye job happens.
Yeah. Well, we're just going to try it out on its legs. Have made one of my big no-nos. I did one of my big no-nos today, and that is cook bacon in the afternoon. Now, the reason why I don't cook bacon in the afternoon is because I have poor ventilation in my kitchen, so the house is now going to stink like bacon through the evening, as opposed to just cooking it in the morning and then it's kind of dissipating by dinner time. Now it's going to be there until like midnight, and this is a big thing that I hate.
All I hear is there's bacon smell in your house, and that's never a bad thing.
Yes, but then when you eat all the bacon, literally all the bacon between you and your 3-year-old daughter,
right? Also a great thing.
There's no bacon left for the smell.
That is the definition of privilege. In case you were wondering,
I understand.
It's having access to bacon at all times.
Right. It was in the freezer, and I defrosted it a couple days ago, so it was delicious. It was delicious. Very thick cut. Thick cut. Joining us this week is JF Major, the co-founder of Tribute Games and developer of Panzer Paladin, an action platformer that is just as good, if not better, than the NES best titles. JF, welcome to the show.
Oh my God, what an intro. Thanks so much for having me.
We try.
Speaking of this intro, funny story. The two separate times that we met you at PAX East, twice, I asked you for your name, and you said, JF. But because I am a dumb idiot boy, I thought you were trying to say your name was Jeff, but with a fancy accent. So the both times I sound like a complete moron when I'm repeating or saying your name in those YouTube videos. Folks, if you want to see me act like a complete jackass, check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/DualScreensTV. Check out those two Panzer Paladin interviews. They're in the PAX East 2019 and 2020. So for 2 years now, I thought you hated your you know, hyphenated name, your whatever full name, and you just changed it to Jeff. But
I might have, honestly, just to defend you, like, true fact, whenever I go to Starbucks in the States, I always ask for, like, when they ask for your name, I always say my name is Jeff, just because if I tell them JF, they're like so confused and they want answers. And
like, those are just letters.
Yeah,
you're testing us right now.
Well, that's exactly. Like, if you said your name was JP, people would go, "Okay, your name is JP." Like, JP is like a normal.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds normal.
More common.
But JF
or JR.
Is so, or JR or but JF is so close to Jeff, but like with a weird tilde somewhere. You know, like, oh, my name is JF. You know,
JF.
It's like,
I'm a JF.
I'm a JF. Anyway, for those of you that are new here to the Dual Screens Podcast, this is an interview show where we bring on an industry guest to tell us their story and about their latest project. Everyone in the gaming industry, be it a programmer, an artist, a voice actor, they all have a story to tell, and we want to be their platform to do so. This podcast posts each and every Thursday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our home, Podbean, and of course on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please consider giving us a 5-star review. It would help the show out tremendously. And if you're watching this on youtube.com/DualScreensTV, please subscribe to the channel, hit the thumbs up, leave us a comment in the section below. Let us know if there's any other developers out there that you want us to interview. And check out our backlog, because we've interviewed well over 100 at this point. So please check that out. Now, let's get right into the well here. Let's get right into the nitty-gritty. DualScreens.com sure did like Panzer Paladin. Andy, of course, did the review himself. We gave it one of our highest recommendations.
The highest recommendation.
Indeed, the highest recommendation.
That's a great thing.
I'm just going to read the conclusion here, the final paragraph. Panzer Paladin by Tribute Games is a must-have. If it was stripped down to its nuts and bolts and released as a straight-up 2D action platform without any of the mechanics that separate it from countless other titles in the genre, then Panzer Paladin would still remain a must-have title. It's just that good. It doesn't drastically reinvent the genre, but it doesn't play it safe either. It's fresh and innovative while paying tribute to the games that I and most gamers grew up with.
So that's high praise. That's insane.
Indeed.
Well, you know, for a game that's just this good, it deserves so much more praise.
Thanks so much.
So, with that being said, why don't you tell our listeners who don't know what Panzer Paladin is? Give them the 411. What is Panzer Paladin?
Yes. Well, Panzer Paladin's a platformer, first and foremost, with a strong focus on melee. So, demons have invaded Earth. You defeat those demons. They drop weapons, and you use those weapons against them. Somewhat reminiscent to the Zelda 2 game, where there was a bit of focus on sword combat with high versus low attacks. We kind of reused that and made it our own. So all the weapons, I try to compare the weapons as kind of like your currency. So you use your weapons in so many ways, and I think that's where like the strategy comes into play. So you can use your weapon just to attack. They have a durability meter, so eventually it'll break. You can toss them, you can use them to checkpoint, or you could just not checkpoint at all and risk having to backtrack a bit more if you die. And you can also break them to cast a spell. And those, I think that's the main element where, like, the strategies that you can take, you can, like, heal your mech, or you can cast Thunderbolts and whatnot. And lastly, I didn't mention, it's you basically play as a mech or a power armor. And you can jump out of your mech. So you play a flame, a little squire that's a bit more agile, but has way less health. But you can swing around hooks and navigate through levels that parts of levels that you wouldn't be able to with the power armor. The power armor is the only thing that can wield the weapons that drop from the enemies.
It's very it has a very it's very reminiscent of Blaster Master in that fact that, you know, you get out of your tank, so to speak, and you kind of traverse the levels a little bit in that aspect. It has a lot of exploration. It's got a lot of the combat's great. The combat's very polished from what I remember playing of it. I know, Andy, you of course beat it. You played it all the way through. You reviewed it. I think that you guys did a great job of kind of tickling our nostalgia, but then reinventing on that nostalgia. It's almost like when we were kids, when we're playing these older games, you go, oh, you know what I wish we could do? I wish we could do this. Oh, I know what would be cool if we could do this. But you couldn't do that on the old hardware. But on the new hardware, on current-gen consoles and PCs, you could kind of take more risks. You could add more into a game. You could make things a little bit more adventurous in a sense. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that was kind of the goal. Normally, our past titles, we kind of try to modernize our games. Like we've always done pixel art games. That's really our thing. But we always tried to modernize them. And I think this is probably the one where we said, like, let's be as true to the Nintendo and try not to mix genres or just have a really simple play mechanics and run with that. And like you mentioned, I think if you don't talk about all the weapons and whatnot, it's a very simple platformer, but there's that one element that's a bit more modern, I would say, but it's still not, it doesn't really clash with older games.
I like how you guys de-emphasize, yet there's still importance on weapons, because as you're playing, you're encouraged to throw them at enemies, smash them to cast spells, and just break shit with them left and right. But yet, right, you got to pay attention and see which ones have the best spells, like your attack up and your buffs, or which ones can heal you. So it's always holding on to your best ones, but still using them when you need to, and also saving some for checkpoints. How do you find that balance between these things are important, but also go crazy and just waste them all if you need to?
I mean, like, we obviously played the game a bunch, and I think it's really hard to plan out for, like, how people are going to play your game. And just like the past week, I've been watching tons of streamers, and they all have very varied ways to play the game. So I don't think there's like enough planning that you can do to really make sure that everything is perfect. And I think that's also like perfectly fine to have, not necessarily like a flawed game, but like sometimes it's good for people to actually find these cheap ways to get through bosses and whatnot, and they feel like they've mastered the game in a sense. So yeah, I think we did a pretty good job of balancing the game, but there's still room for those special strategies, I guess, that we
didn't
plan.
It's funny. I did not read the full press kit when I got my game code, and it says which bosses to fight first for like the easier ones. Totally ignored that. So I fought some harder ones first. Then I went back and I was like fighting Anubis, and I was just pumped. All right, here we're going to go. I'm going to beat this guy up. It's going to be a hard fight. I had the beam weapon, the beam spell engaged.
Oh, yeah.
And I just, at the entrance, stood there and just shot at him. And I was like, okay.
This is too easy.
That was stupidly easy.
Yeah. And that's another funny thing is like
you can cheese everything in this game, basically.
Yeah, in a way. Like, you still have to plan ahead to keep those weapons that you feel allow you to get through the game easier. But yeah, one thing that's that we haven't mentioned is, so once you're done with the tutorial, you basically unlock the whole game. Like, you can choose whichever country you want to tackle. And that's a bit of a challenge, because you basically have to have all those countries be at the same level playing field somewhat. So you can't really have, you don't have like a, can't really ramp up the difficulty in that sense. But there are some levels that are a bit harder, and USA is one of them. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, everyone I've been talking to, they always start with USA. I don't know if it's just the fact that they live in that country, but I always feel bad because, yeah, it's probably one of the trickiest levels to begin with.
That's actually a good segue. I'm sorry, Andy, but we actually have a listener question from former guest of Gamecast, Joe from GameStuff Podcast. Asked if there would be like a patch to make the game more challenging in a sense. So I guess maybe not necessarily just the patch, but maybe a like a new game plus, or like, is there any plan going forward to make a more challenging mode for those who are looking for something more challenging?
Well, already in the game, there's the remix mode, which I feel, well, I can't beat it. It's really hard. Yeah, my employees really hate me. They always try to find that level of difficulty that I can't deal with. But yeah, there's the remix mode, sorry. And then there's also, like, people can also try to push their times with the speedrun mode.
Mm-hmm.
So you can compare with the leaderboards. Granted, it's not like harder, and I think the speedruns are at normal difficulty, so might be even easier than if you played the game on hard. Like, without going to any details, like, we're working on stuff behind the scenes, and sure, we'll see. We might have something coming up. But
so yeah. You're saying your employees are designing levels based on to fuck with you? Is that?
Oh, that's the way I
like,
see it.
Like we're gonna troll the fuck out of JF and this ramp of difficulty.
Exactly. No, like I feel like every game we do, I always complain like I can't beat this game. Like, and they're just like, well,
get good.
Maybe did you everything that maybe you suck? Like you're not.
Yeah, good. I mean, I'm sure that we see this game. Just get good, JF. What are you doing?
Exactly. I don't know. I feel like I've been, I think I have over 500 hours in Panzer Paladin at this point, so I should know what I'm doing, but apparently not.
So you have a very intricate balance with the weapon system, very reminiscent to a Breath of the Wild, where, you know, you kind of save the better weapons for the harder enemies, yada yada, stuff like that. As Andy starts Thriller in his room. The Thriller has just started in Andy's office. yeah, you have that, yet you also have a weapon creation, which was an interesting twist on, you know, balance. I feel like that would really add quite a bit of challenge to balancing out the weapons, as you already spoke about, you know, playing the game over and over again. But now you have this added permutation to people creating their own mixing and matching. Can you go a little bit into detail about what brought about the weapon creation? What have you learned from as you were doing it? And what do you see players using it for, besides what Andy used it for?
Yeah, I don't want to know what he used it for.
Oh, that's my follow-up question.
Don't worry,
I'll let you answer first.
It's coming in more ways than one.
Oh, no, I think I was going to get put on the spot. So the idea came about like really early on. Like I think we've always wanted to dabble with like Steam Workshop or like user-created content. And I feel like the obvious idea is to like create levels and have like a level editor, kind of like Mario Maker. And yeah, I really felt like that was a bit cheap, and it's a lot of work as well to do that, but it doesn't really stand out. And then I pitched the idea, like, why don't we let people draw weapons? And then we were kind of scared initially that people with no skills would like struggle with doing like pixel art. But I kept pushing. At one point, like we decided, like, why don't we we have a set of like handles, and then people can like combine pieces together and create like a weapon, and then they can play with the stats and the name and whatnot. And yeah, I just kept with my idea that like, no, people will learn to draw and there's a very limited palette. So like it's not really that tricky to like get something that looks decent. And we had no idea what to expect from that. Like, are people even going to use it? And are there going to be broken weapons? But since it happens like once per level, and the weapons are fairly like they break often, we felt like there was no way to really cheese it. And we just ran with it. We just thought, let's see what people are going to come up with. And we don't track like scores or times in the actual game. We only do it in the speedrun mode, and in that mode we decided to disable the blacksmith weapons. Right. just for that reason. So I feel like the story mode, like if people want to take the easy route, they can do it, and it's totally fine. I think good on them if they're having an easier playthrough if they land on a special weapon.
So to that, what are your thoughts on me hijacking your game to draw a bunch of 8-bit dicks? I want to say it was almost instantaneous.
It was like too easy, Andy. It was too easy for you, and I'm a little worried about your mental health.
This too easy, yes. I want to let JF answer, but the quality of those Dixels.
They're great.
It's Dixels TM, by the way. It's my own personal term, what I refer to these things as.
Correct.
So on Switch, we can't actually put a name on who drew what. But on Steam, we do have a way to find out who did what. And funny story is, like, when you release a game, you tend to, like, send out codes to press a bit ahead of time. And before launch, we decided to look at what was being created. And I think, like, a week prior to launch, there were two weapons done by the media, and both of them were penises. And I was like, oh my god, this is...
What did you think was going to happen?
I don't know. Like, people are mature, especially media. Like, come on. You have to be professional. Is that not a thing?
Wait, I want to get JF's live reaction to what mine looks like. My most accurate, perfect version.
I mean, you made a couple of dick weapons, and they're very impressive.
I think the PS de Resistance, like my grand masterpiece, was the last one I did because it's dick and balls.
Yes, oh, that was good.
That's that was and this also think of it, Jeff, as a resume for the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we're looking for a future pixel artist. Future... Just look at the shading of it.
Excellent shading. You make a very good use of all the different pinks and peaches. You did a good job. I like the one that had multiple dicks on it.
Dildos, yes.
Oh, yeah, that was one I liked. I liked that one. Yeah, that was good. That was good. Okay, this conversation went somewhere. Kalai actually has a question, also from Game Stuff Podcast, wrote into us and said, "I just want this game to find Andy Asimakis' weapons." So there you go. You're gonna get yourself a sale just because of Andy's dick weapons. See, you can't be too embarrassed.
Oh yeah, I saw that weapon.
There you go.
Jeez.
And what were its stats, Andy? Like, what was its ability?
I think it had high durability.
Okay.
Let's take a peek right now. Right. Oh, and the type is impact.
Obviously, yeah.
We actually discussed that exact weapon in our developer Discord. Oh god.
Like, well, now you know who did it.
I was hoping it wasn't one of you.
Jeez. But yeah, you're also relieved it was one of us, aren't you?
Well, I'm good. Like, I'm happy.
You know exactly who. But you also made other stuff, Andy. You made some other pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, I did Sora's Keyblade from Kingdom Hearts.
That was really cool.
I did the Eye of Thundara from Thundercats recently.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
And then my brother came by. He's like, "Bro, we gotta do the sword from Voltron." I was like, "Yes, that's a thing we can do." Later.
After
these dicks.
After these many dicks. Do it.
One thing that I find is cool is initially everyone thought dicks, and I think people are ashamed to share that they're drawing dicks. I guess Andy's not too ashamed.
I'm very proud.
Yeah, but we don't see that many dicks anymore, and now it's like mostly like legit nice weapons, and tons of people are sharing them on Twitter. So I think they're getting filtered out just by like people being ashamed to share those things, and they prefer putting in time on something that they can like show their friends and family.
For me, it was more the idea of at some point a little kid playing on their Switch at home could get a dick weapon at any moment.
You're the troll. You're the reason why we can't have nice things.
That's on that note though, like just to specify that, like by default the game is set to tribute picks, so we try to not put dicks in our filters.
No dicks in filters. You heard it.
That's
here
the
first.
Quote. That's the quote.
Yeah. So kids, if they don't like change the filter, they shouldn't see that. And the other thing is, if the parental controls are active, the blacksmith weapon feature is completely disabled, or actually it's strictly offline, so they'll only see the weapons that they create.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nintendo knows what's up. They knew dicks were coming. As soon as you said custom weapons, they were like, "Oh, dicks, here they come." Because when they had when they rolled out the DS and they had the pick, what was it called? Pick with me, pick me, whatever that.
Picto chat.
It was just dicks everywhere. Yeah. Just that's going on the bus, just drawing dicks, sending them to random people on the bus.
Dude, Smash Brothers Ultimate, when you can make your own levels.
Oh yeah,
it was a series of dicks.
They're all dicks. Yeah, exactly, exactly. So the game's out for all right. I want you've been watching streamers. You're starting to get your feedback. Tell us about the feedback you've been getting. Tell us about how the launch has gone. What your expectations were. Did you meet them? Did you exceed them? Give us a little bit about behind the scenes with the release of the game.
Honestly, it's been amazing. Like you never really know how people are going to react to your game, and the reviews are phenomenal, and everyone's like enjoying themselves. Like I've seen so many Twitch streamers like just plow through the game in like a day or two, and everyone's like super excited. I couldn't ask for more. I think really happy with the outcome. And looking forward to what's next with Panzer Paladin, because there's still some stuff to do with it. So I'm pretty proud with the game.
Go ahead.
You guys have really honed your craft with this art style, because when you go from like Mercenary Kings and Flint Hook, this is just, it builds off of your entire history of making pixel art games. And this is, I want to say, the most gorgeous 8-bit looking game I've ever played.
Nice.
Seriously.
That means a lot. But story behind Tribute is we used to make Game Boy Advance titles back at Ubisoft. So we've always done pixel art. It's not like, oh, we're just gonna find a cheap way to make games. It's really like our passion and our skills come from pixel art games. And when Ubisoft kind of stopped doing pixel art games, like the last game we worked on was Scott Pilgrim, and they started like putting us on to like Assassin's Creed or like AAA titles. That's when we felt like, okay, we don't belong here anymore. Let's let's start Tribute. So that's kind of the story behind it. So like our history with pixel art dates back to the Game Boy Advance era, and I think we're able to find some super talented artists to join us. We're pretty fortunate in that sense.
How many people are in the company right now? How many employees?
So right now we're 14, and we have 6 freelancers that work from. Well, everyone's working from home right now, but
yeah, you kind of knew something special was happening, because in 2019, in PAX East 2019, you had this little corner, and I don't know if there was more than 2 of you even working the booth. I really only remember seeing you, but I think when I was interviewing you, somebody else was running things. I'm not 100% sure. It's a little murky. But you always had people there. You always had people in your booth playing the game. And then the following year, your booth was gigantic. Like it was massive. You had this giant freaking display and huge carpet, and you had game capture for everyone who was playing the game. It was awesome. It was awesome to see. And you kind of knew something happened in between that year. Like you guys, something clicked the anticipation for the game. Can you talk a little bit about what happened between PAX East 2019 and 2020 that really made you guys ramp up in that way?
To start off, like, we've been going to PAX East since I think 2012. We make it a point to always have a booth. Mm-hmm. And in 2019, when we first showed off Panzer Paladin in January, we had the booth, but we had no game at all. And PAX is in March, so it's like 3 months later. And we decided to cancel a project that we were working on just before that. And we we still had to go to the PAX East, but we didn't know what we were showing. And that's when we decided to start work on Panzer Paladin, which is a game that Jonathan, our game designer and co-founder, had been like working on for, since I think 2014. That was like game design pitch that was like pretty solid. It had like passed the test of time, and we knew it was strong enough that we could like in 3 months have a prototype and be able to show it at PAX East. Normally we always had a 20 feet by 10 feet booth, and the reception was tremendous for Panzer Paladin in 2019. So in 2020, we just decided like, let's go nuts. Like, let's just take a huge booth and just give it a shot. And it was a lot of work. Like, just because
it looked like it.
Yeah. And like, since we've been going to PAX, like we've grown a little bit, like our booth and just adding a few things here and there. But like, this year, in March, like we had to basically redo the whole boot, because you can't just add new TVs; they won't match. And we had to buy all this furniture and get all that stuff ready. So it was really nerve-wracking. And when you do a move like that, they tend to put you like on in a better positioning on the show floor. But that was so stressful that like you're always worried that your boot is going to be empty, and now you're like dead center, and if your boot is empty, it just looks terrible. Like that was a really, I'll say, ballsy move, and I'm really happy we did it, because as you mentioned, like it was pretty jam-packed the whole weekend. And I feel like we had a good number of stations. We had like 8,
mm-hmm.
and there was a constant flow. Like, never really any lineups, but I think that's because like our demos, or the demo was roughly like 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So there was always one station that was getting freed up. So it was, it was really amazing. Really happy we did that.
I gotta say, having that game capture feature that was provided by your team is the best thing, and I don't know why larger game companies don't do that at conventions like this. It seemed like, okay, here's your little USB thing, cool, here's your gameplay footage. That was insanely easy. Why is it only happening here and nowhere else on the show floor?
You know what, like I normally don't really have all that much time to like walk the show floor, and I'm not media, so like people wouldn't really offer me like to capture any footage. But I'm surprised to hear that. Like, I would assume everyone would be doing that, but it's not.
Yeah. Did you purchase the larger size booth before or after all the big companies started to drop? Like, was it a situation where they had the room, so they were able to offer you a bigger booth, or did you set out from the very beginning, we want this giant space?
As soon as we left PAX East in 2019, we knew we wanted a bigger booth.
Okay.
So, I think in the studio, when Sony decided to drop out, we wanted to look into potentially taking their booth. But that would have been way too insane. Like, way too
That's
big.
That's the ballsy move right there.
Yeah, but like our boot was already like all planned out. We had all like everything. It would have just looked really empty. So, but we didn't do that. But one year, like I hope we'll be able to get a massive boot with just one couch in there or something.
Hell yeah. Let's go to another listener question. This is coming from Mikey Kirsch of our Discord, which you can join by joining our Patreon for as little as $1. It gets you into our VIP Discord, where you could ask us questions and talk to us and all that fun stuff. But anyway, Mikey Kirsch says, if you could have a character cameo from any franchise appear in your game, you appear in Panzer Paladin, who would it be?
I think that's an obvious one. I think we'd love to have like Blaster Master inside Panzer Paladin. It would be so fitting. Like, yeah, just being able to swap to that those characters would be amazing.
Fellow developer, Matty Allen Estock asks the question you'll probably that we'll probably already ask is what NES games inspired the game. He's curious to see what elements from what games got pulled into the game.
Right. Well, obviously, as I've mentioned, Zelda 2.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the core reference that we used. But also, and somewhat with all of our games, there's a huge influence of Mega Man. So, like, the enemy types are, and also the level design is very, like, similar to like, a Mega Man.
Mm-hmm.
Blaster Master, obviously, a little bit, and maybe a bit of Castlevania. Yeah. Yeah, we're huge fans of NES games. Like, it's insane. We, like, I think we play more NES games than actual AAA games at the studio, so.
You have no idea how much it annoys me when people say that this game is, like, first they say Shovel Knight, and I'm like, that's so much wrong.
I love Shovel Knight and Yakuza.
Right, it's a great game. Great franchise, but it's not the same thing. Or they say, oh, it's like DuckTales. Also very much no. It's not DuckTales. It is Zelda 2.
I know, but like
Philistines.
People try to forget Zelda 2, which, like, I don't understand why. I think it's probably because it's so different from Zelda 1.
Yeah.
And, yeah, people try to forget that game ever existed, but I'm pretty happy they released it on the eShop, or it's not on the eShop, it's on the
Switch Online.
The Switch Online, yeah.
Yeah.
So, going back to the dicks situation, Mr. Nuff actually has some questions. He says, did you know there would be dicks? Did you estimate an average amount of possible dicks? How did this make it through the big Nintendo certification?
Oh, God. That's a good question. I honestly don't know if...
They know? You don't know if they know that there are dicks?
I don't know. Like, they... At least I know Nintendo didn't draw dicks during their,
Plot
check. So, is it something they anticipated? They probably do, because I'm sure, like, people draw dicks with Mario Maker.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Of course.
It's a very weird thing, huh? Is it? It's like a very weird primal thing that...
I know. It's a very human thing.
Yeah, it's weird. It's, like, yeah, it's just weird.
I honestly don't understand it, but it's the first thing that pops into everyone's minds, I guess. But yeah, we knew people were going to do it. And then the only concern we had was, like, how much we had to censor people. Because, like, mm-hmm. I don't think we'd be able to have the tech to filter it on its own.
You know what you could do? At the end of making a weapon, you just ask a simple question. Is this a penis? Question mark. And if they say no... And then you find out it is, you shut their game. You lock them out. That's it. They're gone.
Right.
No,
offline only.
We should be rewarding the...
hold on. Steven. Hold on, Andy. Okay. If you say yes, it's allowed in the game, but it has to get flagged as adult, whatever it is, content.
I would say if you say yes, you get like a $10 eShop card for being honest.
Not a bad idea.
You've made the trident of penisry.
I had a great idea, actually, like, to somewhat shadow ban people. So if you drew a penis, mm-hmm. all of a sudden your filter is only penises. So you're like in a special category where
I like this filter
only,
a lot.
The only minor weapons that drop are gonna be penises.
That's
like,
so good.
Yeah.
God,
we'll see if that makes the cut eventually.
Andy, we'll watch any last couple of questions you want to get in there before we go to rapid fire?
Well, I mean, I could say, what could you give us in terms of what a potential expansion or the future like of Panzer Paladin looks like?
Yeah.
Without giving us too much or what you're allowed to say.
Yeah. Listen, we're not. Well,
if we announce something here on the podcast, yeah, I mean,
absolutely. The game's out, what, a week?
Yeah.
you want to give us all those?
Yeah. Spill the beans? Sure, go ahead.
Okay. I'll announce this. We're working on a patch to fix bugs.
Perfect.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So unfortunately, there were a few bugs, especially on the Switch, which we found a really weird bug with one of the bosses that just disappears.
I heard about that. You put that up on Twitter, I think.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate because like the bug only happens on Switch, yeah. So that's probably why we didn't like spot it. It's just a mathematic error or whatever, like just a programming error. So yeah, we'll have a patch up hopefully soon. We're working on that, and I'll just say we're working on other stuff, but yeah, I can't go into details.
Can you talk about the soundtrack? Because I want to own it on vinyl. Is that Can we get that on vinyl somehow? Can we do that?
We might, because we have like almost all our albums on vinyl right now. So,
and the soundtrack is incredible.
Yeah, I feel like that's Patrice Bourgeot's best work. Like, he also did the soundtrack for most of our games, every single one of our games except Wizorb. And every single album he did is better than the last. So this one is no exception. It's so good. Especially, I don't know if you guys heard the Pyroglove team.
Yes, did a cover of the theme. Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's insane. Oh, yes. Go look it up. It's so good.
It's like face meltingly good.
Yeah. Yeah, you just feel like headbanging in your living room alone.
All right. Now, before we get into rapid fire, let's tell our listeners about our other shows. Folks, if you like gaming news and you like Andy and I, then boy, do we have a show for you, and it's on this very same channel. You don't even have to subscribe anywhere else. But we do the Dual Screens Gamescast each and every week, post every Monday. If you're listening to Pleasure on your podcast service of choice, again, same thing, same YouTube, same everything. The only difference is we record that show live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstream. So give us a follow over there, and when we go live, come in. You could ask us questions live as we're recording. It's a really cool thing to do. Also, if you want to support us on Patreon, again, that's patreon.com/NDS podcast. Thank you to our two producers, FNH Paul and Colton the Apprentice Nestler. We can't continue to grow without your support, so you going over there and even supporting us at $1 is a tremendous, tremendous help to us. It helps us get better gear. It helps us get ahead of the curve with as far as gaming. It got us capture materials, cameras to do these shows live, and better microphones, and everything. Every dollar that you bring gets reinvested into the product, so every single dollar really does make our product better, full stop. Okay, so here's how this works, JF. We are just going to give you some questions off the top of our head, and you're going to give us your answer off the top of your head. Now, we do have some planned questions that we ask everybody. Our listeners love those questions. And of course, we're going to start with one of those questions, and I will start us off here. Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Or wrong.
Okay.
Would you rather have your brain put into a robot's body or an animal's body of your choice?
Animal.
Ooh, follow up. Which one? I'm curious.
I think it would be a koala.
Koala, okay.
Interesting. You'd be the smartest koala that ever lived.
Oh, yeah.
Those are some dumb motherfuckers.
they seem so like at peace, and I don't know, just very lazy. So
they don't know better, JF. They're just dumb. That's why.
Aren't they infested with chlamydia? Isn't that a thing?
I'm sure. Fine with that.
Maybe.
All right, JF.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, thanks for making me regret my answer now.
No, you could be like Planet of the Koalas. You could lead them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Revolution.
Absolutely.
So, honestly, no regrets. No regrets.
What would you rather have in real life? Double jump or slide kick?
Double jump any day.
Great answer. What's the most embarrassing store you've been seen shopping at?
Oh my God, I have to think about that one. I don't know what that is. Oh God, I don't know. Pennington? I have no idea. I don't think I've shopped there, but I probably was in there. Something like that. It's like a plus size store. And I'm not that plus size, so probably the best I could come up with. I don't know.
You're like, I'm gonna gain some pounds soon, so let me just preemptively get the pounds.
Would you rather have $1 million now and only have 1 hour to spend it, or $100 a day until you have $1 million?
$100. I don't know why, but at least I won't like go nuts and buy a Lambo, and I'll be more conscious on what I buy.
Which is more preferable, being nice or being fair?
Being nice.
What famous, or really any franchise, video game franchise, would you want to work on at Tribute?
Metroid, for sure. That'd be like, if we could do a 2D side scroller version, I'm so on board with that.
Gotta make that happen. Good answer. How soon can we get a Scott Pilgrim beat 'em up?
Oh no, that's a great question. Oh God,
we want it, Jeff. It's been too long.
Right now.
It's been too long.
I know. Luckily, like it feels like people are harassing limited runs now for that.
Wow! Yeah, I see that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now they don't throw us under the bus anymore.
Just let your staff know. I will beat them with my dick stick if they don't make.
Wow, yeah. There it is, folks. You heard it here first. Would you rather?
Wait, is there an actual answer you want to say? How soon can we get there?
He doesn't.
I wish I had the answer myself. Like I'm so bummed that game got delisted. But
oh boy, yeah.
Never say never. That shit'll come back. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would you rather have a real life warp whistle that can take you anywhere on Earth, or an Ocarina of Time to take you anywhere in time?
Definitely the warp whistle. I don't want to travel back in time.
Or forward in time, not just back.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where our world is headed. I prefer the safe answer with the warp.
good fucking choice. Good answer. Yeah.
Would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses, or fight one horse-sized duck?
I'll fight one duck. Here's the thing, man.
I just got to remember this. Ducks are basically dinosaurs. Like, birds are dinosaurs. So if you get a horse-sized duck, you're fighting a fucking dinosaur. You're fighting you're fighting a small Tyrannosaurus Rex. That's what you're fighting at this point, with no teeth. That's terrifying to me.
Horses aren't that big.
Horses are fucking big, dude. Have you seen a horse? Like, have you been next to a horse? Like, they're taller. They're big.
Have you seen Black Beauty?
Is it like a pony?
No, that's not a horse. Yeah. A pony's a pony. We didn't say pony. We said horse. We didn't say mini horse. We said horse. We didn't say zebra. We said fucking horse.
Okay.
Now, granted, we didn't say Clydesdale. Because Clydesdale would be very specific.
I preferred the dick question from earlier.
All right. Close your eyes.
All my answers were wrong. That's what you're saying.
No, there's no wrong answers.
Close your eyes. All right. Yeah. Imagine you're in the absolute best place on Earth. It could be the most pristine beach. It could be with your family. It could be with maybe family members that have passed on to, you know, beyond the old rainbow bridge, as it were, and you get to, you know, see them again. It could be the best place ever. Just imagine that place. You're in that place. Now, Are you wearing pants?
I'm wearing board shorts.
Mm. Very specific. I like
right,
it.
Right
I
now,
like
I'm not it. Wearing pants, though, if that's your question.
That's an even better answer. Which animal adds more joy to the world? Squirrels or llamas?
Oh, definitely llamas.
That is squirrels, the correct answer.
Like, eat your tomatoes and they're mean.
Yeah, they just fuck shit up, squirrels. Yep.
What would llamas you are cute.
Yeah, I guess so. If you could pick one mythological beast to have as a pet, what would it be?
A Yeti.
Ooh, a pet Yeti. I like it.
Now, I'm going to ask Steven a question.
Okay.
Which will determine if I should ask this question to JF.
Okay.
To preface.
Okay.
JF said he did miss dick questions.
Right.
So, Steven, should I ask him the dick and cake question from our previous rapid fire?
No, that's very... No. No, I would avoid that one. If you want
to
know,
I'm sure my whole staff is gonna listen to this, and they're gonna be like,
"What were you thinking?"
This podcast derailed so badly.
No, you definitely don't want to ask that.
All right, so let's ask one of our other most frequent last questions on this segment.
Okay.
Would you rather have the power of flight or invisibility?
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Hmm. I think flight. Yeah. Can't go anywhere with invisibility.
Hmm. Interesting. You still get tired when you're invisible, I guess. What useless animal power would you want to have?
What's that? Sorry.
A useless animal power. So like something that animals can do that is just really useless, but like you would want to have that power, that ability.
I think I'd like to sleep on 1 feet. 1 foot.
Okay. Mm. That's actually really good. That's a
really
good
really good answer.
Yeah, you could be like at the airport with no like seats on.
Yeah, could sleep anywhere really.
Yeah,
and you'd have quads like of steel.
You would,
or really tiny legs.
That's right.
Black beans or refried beans in your burrito?
Mm-hmm.
Refried for sure.
Mm. I think refried beans.
Yes, yeah, baby.
How do you order your eggs?
Scrambled.
Is cereal a soup?
Not my cereal. I eat cereal without milk, so.
Interesting.
Fascinating.
Okay, then.
Yeah. Some people say that's a key descriptor for a serial killer.
Yeah,
but...
I was going to say.
Yeah,
it's
that's
one of the markers, right?
Yeah, that definitely is a mark of a sociopath. Absolutely. Yeah. You certainly don't like the roof of your mouth, that's for sure.
Come on, the Lucky Charms, they have like the... how do you call those in English?
Marshmallows?
Yeah, those are perfect for your...
They are delicious. They are delicious.
Yeah.
Okay. This is going to be a tough one. Hmm. What is the... If the Paladin, the Panzer Paladin, was in Smash Brothers, one, what is the Panzer Paladin level? And two, what is the ultimate Smash ability?
Hmm.
Oh, that's a tough one. I think it would be in Egypt, and it would definitely be the thunder strike.
Yeah,
with all the thunderbolts. That
yeah, and they kind of go
across the screen. Yeah,
that's awesome. That's a good one. That's my favorite ability.
Yeah. Would you rather wear someone else's dirty underwear?
Oh God.
Or use their toothbrush? Yeah,
yeah.
I feel like only one of those is giving you a disease.
I don't know.
I'll admit, I think I've done one of the two. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, that's good. That's good enough for us. That's good enough for us.
That's gross. I want to. Okay. What weapon have you created? In the create a weapon blacksmith forge thingy.
I'm super sad to admit it's really boring. The one I drew, like all my staff did amazing weapons. Like one of them did a cat. There's a giant keyboard guitar, a keytar.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Forget, but oh yeah, there's one kind of like Andy's dick, but instead of a dick, it's a duck.
Yeah, I was gonna say I've seen that one frequently. Yeah,
it's really cool. But yeah, the one I did is called the Flare, and it's just it kind of looks like Crocodile Dundee, like knife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry to disappoint.
What is the most boring thing ever?
Watching the ceiling.
Okay.
You're not lying there. Okay, a couple more questions here and then we'll wrap it up. What franchise would you like to cross over with Panzer Paladin? What do you think would fit?
Kind of answered that. Well, Blaster Master, is that like a good crossover? Or?
I think so. Yeah, I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, I feel like it's just too obvious. But yeah, that would be pretty cool. Yeah, I'll stick with that answer.
Would you rather die from a zombie attack or a shark attack?
Shark attack, because that means I've been surfing and
there you go.
My appy place. So.
Oh, you're a surfer.
Yeah.
You mentioned the board shorts before, so I figured.
Know, yeah.
Yeah. I was leaning into that a little bit.
I don't know if this applies to surfing. I feel like it would, but are you goofy footed or standard?
I'm goofy footed, which is really weird because I snowboard the like regular footed. So I don't understand the reasoning why I switch, but
maybe it's oh no, I guess it wouldn't be for surfing. I was gonna say for skateboarding, maybe it's just like for me, I'm goofy because I feel like my right quad is just stronger. I'm a righty, so like my right quad is just stronger. So if I keep doing the squatting on it, it's easier for me to control the board. And you know, but like on a snowboard, I'm trying to think. I was also goofy, because I learned skateboarding first. So that's an interesting answer. All right, Andy, hit us with one more, and then I'll give us our final question.
Oh boy. Okay. Let's see. What's a good one here? Okay, here's one. Give us a non-inspirational quote.
I'll try to translate a quote that I always say in French, and it's when you want, you can. So if you really want something, you can do it.
Can you say it in French?
It's vert super.
That sounds just lovely.
Language of love.
Now, if you want, you can answer this question. You will have to answer this question, as every guest before you has answered this question. It is the most difficult question for any of our guests to ever answer, and I guarantee you it will be the most difficult question you have ever answered, period, in your entire life. I mean, top to bottom. Doesn't matter what
this is. This is correct.
This is probably the most important question in all humanity. I'm trying to get it on the census here in the States, trying to do it. We'll see.
Fingers crossed.
It's in there. I sent it in. Simple question. A baby can answer it. Simple question. Binary answer. One answer or the other. Very simple.
Yeah.
Andy or Steve?
I'll say Andy just because he played Panzer Paladin.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was the only one to get a code.
Well, I mean, listen, when you draw a bunch of pixel dicks, there's no debate here, Steven.
I understand. Exactly. Listen,
you're like
understand.
In that category of people that...
Listen, you have a hockey stick in your game, so I'm happy. Let's go Rangers, baby. Hockey starts tomorrow, baby. Let's go Rangers.
Canadians all the way.
Wait, who are you? What?
Canadians?
Oh.
Montreal Canadians.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
The Habs. All right, folks, that's going to do it. That's going to bring us to the end of the show. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at NDS Podcast. I'm at BatChild27, and Andy is at PantsGuy. If you want to join our Facebook group, it's facebook.com/groups/DS Podcasts. And, of course, if you want to join our Discord, that is a VIP Discord that's through our Patreon, which you could join at patreon.com/NDS Podcast, just like our Patreon producers FNH Paul and Colton the Apprentice Nestler. You don't just get into the Discord either. At $1, you also get a bonus episode every month. We just posted our July bonus episode, which is Andy and I rapid fire questioning each other, which some of those questions bled into this episode as well. But that was a blast. So if you want to support us there,
they were too good.
They were really good. It was really, really good. Don't forget to follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. Subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/dualscreenstv. And if you want to shop and buy any of our merchandise, it's dualscreens.com/store. Now, JF, where can everybody find you? Where can everybody find Tribute? Where can everybody find Panzer Paladin? Give us the rundown.
Sure. You can follow Tribute Games on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, every single place. On Twitter and Facebook, it's Tribute Games in one word. On Instagram, it's Tribute_Games. Mm-hmm. And you can also join our Discord. We chat with everyone, and yeah, we have a pretty fun community over there. And you can follow me on Twitter at JF Major with a 0 instead of an O. Damn that person that stole my name.
SOB.
that's roughly it.
Awesome. Well, JF, thank you so much for joining us. It was an absolute pleasure hanging out with you today.
It was so much fun. It's always fun to chat with you guys, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Good luck with everything. We wish you nothing but luck, and this game really doesn't need luck. It's a fantastic game. Folks, go out there, go buy it. It really is a fantastic game. So with that being said, that's going to bring us to the end. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, JF. Thank you, listener. And as always, please be excellent to each other.